following episode depicts violence, murder, and incidents of domestic violence. Listener discretion is advised. It's been over 20 years since 32-year-old Candace Scola was found dead on the kitchen floor of her home on Knox Street in Worcester. She had been stabbed 13 times, including multiple stabbings in her chest. The only suspect in the case is her estranged husband. He was the last person to see her alive.
Unsolved Worcester is brought to you by the following sponsors. The016.com is a proud supporter of Unsolved Worcester. From all the latest local news to your favorite restaurant's latest specials, The016 is the one place to find everything you need to work, live, and play in Worcester. Check out The016.com today. Unsolved Worcester's aerial imagery is brought to you exclusively by New England SkyPix. New England SkyPix has provided imagery for both commercial and residential real estate, documented construction projects such as Polar Park, and various buildings in the Worcester and Boston area. New England SkyPix creates content and produces complete commercials and provides aerial footage for the film industry and video podcasts. New England SkyPix is fully insured and licensed for commercial work by the FAA. Call or text 774-452-4488 or visit newenglandskypix.com for residential or commercial inquiries. Be sure to follow New England SkyPix on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to New England SkyPix's YouTube page for some behind-the-scenes imagery of the making of Unsolved Worcester. You don't want to miss it. Looking for great ways to spend your weekend in Worcester? Want to know where to find the cheapest gas in the city? Want live traffic updates and where roadwork is taking place? For these and all things Worcester, visit thisweekinworcester.com. Before you leave the house each day, be sure to visit thisweekinworcester.com for the popular 5 Things You Need to Know Today in Worcester to stay in the know on everything happening in Worcester, day after day, week after week. And follow TWIW on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for breaking news, updates, and more. This Week in Worcester. Everything Worcester, every day of the week.
Welcome to Unsolved Worcester. I'm your host, Dan Yeager. In part one of our 2-part episode series, we look at the circumstances leading up to the murder of Candace Scola on July 3rd, 2002. Come back on Thursday for part two when we take a look at the aftermath of Candace's murder and the seemingly never-ending, lingering need for closure to this case. Unsolved Worcester takes a deep dive every Tuesday and Thursday into the unsolved murders and missing persons cases under investigation by the Worcester Police Department's Detective Unit. We will be looking to the past to unsolved murders as far back as the early 1950s and 60s. The approach to Unsolved Worcester is this: shine a light on each of these cases, put a life behind each victim's name, provide a timeline of events and important details, and ask the questions that still need to be answered. Our goal is to remind residents of the Worcester area, both past and present, that there are dozens of unsolved homicides and missing persons cases that need resolution. We hope we can be the spark needed to solve a case. Of the dozens of unsolved murders under investigation by the Worcester Police Department, the 2002 murder of Candace Scola certainly received significantly more media attention than most of the cases we will share over the next few seasons of Unsolved Worcester. Candace was in her early 30s, working as a judicial secretary at the Worcester Juvenile Court. Her husband, Anthony Scola, was a well-known lawyer in Worcester and had formerly served as assistant district attorney in the Worcester County District Attorney's Office. Scola is the only known suspect for Candace's murder, and while he hadn't lived at the Knox Street home in months, on July 3rd, a day before Candace's murder, the couple had been seen by neighbors in the yard doing yard work together. Candace doing some gardening, Scola mowing the lawn. It was almost as if everything was fine. Candace grew up in Leicester. She had graduated from Leicester High School, attended the former Becker College, and was attending Worcester State University with plans to become an elementary school teacher. Family and friends called her Candy and said she enjoyed art, gardening, and cooking. In the days following her murder, Candace was described as sweet, intelligent, and strong-willed, but also confused and naive. At the time of her death, she had been working for several years as a judicial secretary at Worcester Juvenile Court. Candace and Scola married in 2000, and their two-year marriage can be best described as a violent and emotional roller coaster. But even before they tied the knot in April 2000, Candace and Scola had already placed restraining orders against each other. As one friend of Candace told the Telegram and Gazette just days after her murder, Candace and Scola, quote, brought the worst out in one another. No one could believe it when they got married. By the time they did get married, the couple had already been living together on Knox Street. The home was in Candace's name. In early February 1998, Candace filed a restraining order against Scola for physical, emotional, and verbal abuse, including accusing Scola of strangling her and kicking her in the head back in March 1997. The night before she filed for a restraining order, February 10th, 1998, according to reports, the couple had gotten into a physical argument over refinancing the Knox Street home. Scola wanted Candace to refinance the home so he could pay off personal debts. Candace alleges when she told Scola she wouldn't refinance the home, he grew upset and hit her. She would later ask him to leave the house. In response, Scola called the police and accused Candace of stabbing him with a pen. The next day, February 11th, 1998, after Candace filed a restraining order, Scola filed a restraining order of his own against Candace, alleging he was the victim of the fight the night before and claiming Candace hit him many times in the head. 2 weeks later, both restraining orders would be dropped at the request of both Candace and Scola. Before the break, we mentioned Scola's debt and his insistence that Candace refinance her home to help him pay some of the debt away. In February 1999, Scola filed for a court order demanding Candace give him back a 1991 Jaguar he said he had bought for her for $9,000 in July 1998. In April 1999, Scola filed for bankruptcy. Later that month, Scola was charged with assault and battery, assault with a dangerous weapon, and threatening Candace. The dangerous weapon was a stationary bike. The charges were continued without a finding for 6 months, and Scola was ordered to stay away from Candace. Once the 6 months passed, the charges were dropped. Even though the writing was on the wall there with multiple restraining orders, multiple charges of assault and Scola in debt, the couple got married in April 2000. The roller coaster relationship really picked up speed in February 2002, 6 months before Candace was killed. Every week of February 2002 was a back and forth of accusations and restraining orders between Candace and Scola. According to court records, Scola filed a restraining order on February 19th against Candace in district court, alleging Candace had slapped him in the face and scratched him on the neck nearly 2 weeks earlier on February 8th. That same day, February 19th, Candace filed for divorce, citing abusive treatment from Scola. Less than a week later, on February 25th, Scola filed a counterclaim for divorce, claiming Candace treated him cruelly and abusively. The next day, February 26th, Candace filed a restraining order against Scola, alleging Scola had spit in her face and pushed her during an altercation that took place over a week before. The same day, less than an hour later, Scola showed up at the Knox Street home with a police officer. The officer arrested Candace for violating the terms of Scola's restraining order. But let's pause here for a second and go back to February 18th, 2002. Candace was charged with assault and battery on her husband that allegedly happened on February 18, 2002, 1 day before Candace filed for a restraining order against Scola. Oddly enough, the charge against Candace was continued to July 8, 2002, the first Monday after the July 4th holiday, and just 3 days after Candace was found killed on her kitchen floor. Candace's body was discovered late in the afternoon on July 5th, 2002, by co-workers who had stopped at the home on Knox Street after she didn't show up for work at the juvenile court. Knox Street is off North Oxford Street near Hadwin Park and St. John's Cemetery. The co-workers were able to enter the home through an unlocked window in front of the house. Candace was found on her kitchen floor. She was wearing a nightgown. When police arrived, they couldn't find the murder weapon and couldn't determine what kind of knife was used to kill Candace. There were no signs of struggle or forced entry. Police told reporters that Scola was certainly part of the investigation. However, it would take weeks before they named him as a suspect. Scola was picked up by police at the former Cactus Pete's restaurant on Park Avenue. Scola was questioned for several hours and provided police with a detailed account of where he was on July 4th and the days before and after the holiday, including telling police he was at the Knox Street home until 10:30 p.m. on July 3rd. When he was picked up by police, Scola had multiple cuts on his hands. He said the cuts were from installing an air conditioner at the home on July 3rd. A year after the murder, July 2003, Scola would tell Telegram and Gazette columnist Diane Williamson that he cut easily from the air conditioner because of a family condition where he's, quote, very thin-skinned. Scola said, quote, in any case, police always look to the husband or boyfriend first, but I don't think there's anything that points to me. Tune in on Thursday for the second part of the Candace Scola story and the ongoing aftermath of Candace's murder. We will take a closer look at Scolas's whereabouts on the day of Candace's murder, the many years of legal battles following July 5, 2002, and how the case continues to come back to the home on Knox Street. I'm Dan Yeager. Come back next time for part two of our podcast series on the murder of Candace Scola in July 2002. Be sure to visit Unsolved Worcester on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Unsolved Worcester. Listen to all episodes for free at unsolvedworcester.com and podcast streaming platforms including Spotify, iTunes, and more. Special thanks to Harvest Design in Northboro, the extensive research provided by Alex London and the Worcester Public Library, the Worcester Police Department, the City of Worcester, Ron Scott at New England Sky Picks, and our sponsors for making this possible. The Unsolved Worcester podcast music is provided by Tom LeBelzik of the Worcester Jazz Collective. This episode of Unsolved Worcester is written and produced by Pat Sargent. Drone footage provided by New England Sky Picks. Videography and editing by Colin Turner. Victim images are courtesy of the Worcester Police Department. Sponsorship information announcer Chandler Walsh. Unsolved Worcester website and logo art by Harvest Design. Visit harvest-design.com. Be sure to check out the video for this episode with exclusive aerial views and more on our Unsolved Worcester YouTube page. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button.